swing and a belt. Well, Beal, way back. Blue Jays win it.
Oh, God. Down the sideline. Wow. Touchdown.
Unbelievable.
Trying to finish it.
It's over.
Here's a chance. That call. Shot rebound. Score.
How's it going, everybody? Welcome back to an all-new episode of the Tall Can Sports Podcast. Matt Robinson with you as always, and joined tonight by our boy Matty Lang. What's happening, man?
Just another beautiful day in the world, my friend. How are you doing today?
Good, man. Things are doing all right. As always, people can give us a follow on social media. We're at Tall Can Audio on Twitter and Instagram. Matty's at Matthew Lang on Twitter, at Matt Does Physio on Instagram. Before we move any further at all, anything on the blog right now, man? Anything,
Actually, as Matt Does Physio is getting a little bored of and waiting for the NBA season to start up again.
Yeah.
And my soccer team's on a little winter hiatus since they're a beach team. I've taken up writing about at least the big interesting injuries in the NFL. And we were, quote unquote, blessed with two very interesting collarbone injuries over the weekend in one game.
Yeah, you were blessed. So, they weren't so blessed.
Yeah. I was like ready to explain and educate everybody. And, you know, there's some fairly gnarly injuries. So some different stuff. But we got one for Tyreek Hill from the Chiefs and one from Big Dick Nick Foles, who was playing his first game out of Philadelphia in the Jaguars. Yeah, I know. One of the all-time great nicknames in sports.
If you can show up anywhere where they're going to call you Big Dick, you're like, yep, that's good, man. I'll take it. Only thing better is the Duke, man. And otherwise, you want Big Dick, right?
That's right. That's a solid number two nickname. Now, before we get to the other bit of sports and why I'm probably in such a good mood today, what are you drinking today?
Yeah, all right. So I'm just cracking. This is a new one for me, and I like it. This is called the Beer Snob from the Shiloh Brewing Company. I've never heard of the brewery. As always, we'll post the beers on our social media. But this is a Belgian rye ale. And I like it because it says here, like I said, the title is Beer Snob. And in the description, it's like, best served. And it's like in a glass that you brought from home. Right, like things like that. A little extra jabs to point out that you're a beer snob. You're better than everybody else's taste. So little things like that. I've just cracked it. I haven't tried it yet. What about you? What you got going on?
I got something a little local here. So I picked up from Left Field Brewery their Squeeze Play, and this year's is called the Black Currant Sour.
Ooh,
This is delicious, man.
Yeah?
This is absolutely delicious. It's making me actually salivate too much. It's a...
You're drooling on the mic down there.
Call it what it is, right? It's a sour. So you gotta like that flavor profile.
Yeah.
But the black currant goes really well with the beer. It's 4.8.
Okay.
I always love Left Field because they actually have the 355 milliliter cans.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I always love a little bit more with these the local breweries,
right?
Especially when you're grabbing something you don't know if
you're just sampling, and it's a work night, right? Like it helps keep things under control.
It's a work night for somebody, right?
Yeah.
What I love about Left Field is they always do their ballpark pairings at the back. So what's your ballpark food to eat with this beer?
Okay. And
instead of a flavor profile.
Yeah.
So this one is sorbet because everybody eats that at the Rogers.
Obviously.
Center. And wine gums.
They're going to different ballparks, I think, than I am. That's a little
that
weird.
Must be new Yankee Stadium. Right?
Hey, there you go. Yeah.
In the executive level.
I'm starting to see, and we've posted a bit at Tall Can Audio on Instagram. The Left Field, man, it's popping up around here.
Is it good?
Yeah, I've seen it in a couple of grocery stores now. And honestly, the grocery stores that are around me anyway are better than my closest beer store in terms of the craft. I think they have like a certain responsibility to carry a certain amount of local craft. Obviously, the LCBO is pretty good. But yeah, no, I'm seeing the Left Field up here a little bit more and more, man. So it's been kind of cool to see. So Off the top of my head, I can't remember what the beer was now, but I kind of dig the squeeze play name you've got going on there. So that's
this one's good. And the other one I picked up is called Bang Bang, another sour. So hopefully that one will stay.
All about
the
sours, eh? We're about to shift out of the summer, and the sours will kind of disappear for a few months. We'll be back into, I think, the thicker stuff, right? Your stouts and your porters and shit start to come back out. So that's when I know you're, man.
That's what I was going to say. You're like me. We both love the dark beers, right? And I was telling somebody, I don't think I had to think about it when the last time I had a beer was. And then I remembered I was at Mill Street Brewery last Saturday.
May have had one or two there.
You know, the memory escapes me sometimes.
Well, it happens. Yeah. This is pretty good, man. It absolutely, it tastes like a rye ale, right? They have that kind of dry kick to it a little bit, but it's pretty tasty. I'm feeling this
one. A little bitter?
So, yeah, a little bit, yeah. But not like overwhelming. It's kind of nice. So we'll post those on the Instagram at Tall Can Audio, so you can check that out. Where do you want to start, man? We got week one of the NFL is in the books. An interesting matchup or two ahead coming in week two. The Mitch Marner shit hit the fan again today.
Well, that's exactly where we need to start, right?
Okay, I'm with you.
You know, I want to talk a little Patriots.
Yeah, of course you do.
I want to talk a little Bianca.
Yep.
But come on, man. There's one story that still somehow dominates everything.
So
I'm Mitch Marner.
I want to let you lead this off. But before I do, I'm laying down the law here right now, because this is it. You and me, we're going to kick this around one more time. After this, I'm not talking about Mitch Marner on this podcast again until a deal is done. By punishment of the Marner jar, which we talked about previously on this podcast, a great idea. It's at themarnerjar.com, and it's sort of set up that instead of enjoying the Leafs for what they are right now, it punishes you for harping on the negatives. And when you donate to the Marner jar, it goes to their rebuilding Toronto Sick Kids Hospital. This was someone else's idea through kind of Steve Dangle's community. It's awesome. It's a great idea. TheMarnerJar.com. You and I are going to talk about Mitch Marner penalty-free right now, and then that's it, because I'm sick of this shit, and we're not talking about it again until it's done, like I said, by punishment of the Marner jar. Sound good, man?
I'm all on board, because if it was up to me, I'd have him sent down playing with Phil Kessel for the rest of his 8-year career.
I thought you were going to send him down to the Orlando Solar Bears or something. Yeah. So lead us off, man. Where are you at with Mitch Marner?
The Solar Bears.
It's a great logo. It's a great jersey, kind of chilling out there with the sunglasses. I love it. It might be my favorite name in pro sports.
It's not the Swamp Dragons. Who's the fucking dragon team?
Oh, I don't know. I guess more than
an ECHL team.
Oh, they all are, man. My favorite, maybe ahead of the Orlando Solar Bears in like Double A baseball, there's a team from Macon, Georgia called the Macon Whoopee, and I think that's fucking awesome as well. I badly want a Macon Whoopee hat. Like, so when you're a minor league team, you can get away with some shit. I love the Orlando Solar Bears, and I love the Macon Whoopee. So.
Well, if we can't find you that big Country Robinson Super jersey,
I need the.
We know we're
rookie.
Getting you.
Yeah, for sure, man.
Solid second choice.
Awesome.
Listen,
details come out. I want to let you run with it. Let me just lay it down. Over the course of this week, between Darren Dreger and Bob McKenzie, they're laying down that essentially in June, the Leafs have offered a 7 or 8 year deal to Mitch worth $11 million, essentially the John Tavares contract, 7 years, $11 million. And he turned it down because, as an AAV goes, it would still be less than Austin Matthews. And apparently, becoming the highest paid winger of all time is not enough for this kid. It's still about respect, it's still about being seen as Austin Matthews' equal, which in my opinion, he is not. But that's where we stand now. Nothing's changed. They've talked about 3-year deals, 7-year, 8-year deals. They haven't got it done. And Bob McKenzie said today that at this point, he doesn't see how this gets done. So that doesn't mean it can't get done, but he doesn't see the path right now. Where are you at, man?
I'm so over this chick, bro.
Yeah.
That's the only, that's fucking it, man. this is a guy who's, we talked about this probably back in summer, Matt,
yeah,
about comparables,
yep,
right? And you brought up the great point that it's not a comparable around the league. It's comparable to who he wants to be compared to, which is Austin Matthews.
He's just decided, I don't care about my comparables. I've decided this is my comparable.
Well, bad decision, because he's, yes, a far superior player to you in every fucking facet of the game. I know Mitch Marner is exciting to watch.
Yep.
So is Austin Matthews last, yep, time I checked, everybody. The only thing Mitch Marner's got going from him is he's not from Arizona. That's a pretty big plus, don't get me wrong, but it's not worth $2 million a year.
It is not.
When you got to – did the Leafs pay more for Austin Matthews than they probably could have or should have? Sure.
You can make that argument. That. Yep.
Maybe, yep, they paid him a little bit more.
Yep.
Has he made it through an 82-game season completely? No, he hasn't. He's still also like 21,
yeah,
for God's sakes, and growing into his body. Mitch Marner's been a full-grown teenager for 6 years now.
Nobody's so scored more 5-on-5 goals than Matthews since he came into the league. He's a center. Right? I mean, he's a big, strong dude. I'm sorry, centers who score are worth more than wingers who pass. That's just reality.
It is. And you know what? I've heard things on the radio recently saying, you know, Patrick Kane is comparables. Guess what? Patrick Kane had Stanley Cup rings.
Yep.
Before he had his $10 million contract.
And it was his third contract, not his second, before he got paid like that.
How about, here's an easy one, Kucherov.
Yeah.
Led the league in points, $9.5 million, yeah, AAV.
100-point guy.
How on earth does this guy think he is worth over 11 a year? And here's the problem, right? They keep threatening. Drager keeps going, not Drager, I'm thinking of Kiprios, used to sit up in his pupil till he was this politely decided, yeah, to part ways with Sportsnet.
You're done, buddy.
Doug McLean, same thing.
Yeah.
All these guys ranting and raving for 3-4 months that watch at these RFA contracts that are going to come in. The Leafs better be careful. Guess what? Nobody wants to pay this guy a hair over $10 million.
Right. And this is part of the problem when everybody talks about it's time to trade him. And you know what? Where we're at right now, I wouldn't have a problem if you could find a fairly reasonable trade. But who on earth has decided that they're willing to give him more than $11 million a year and then give you something that you'll take for that asset? It's not out there. They also have
to have
the cap room that, like, it's not out there. Like, someone who's going to give you fair value for Mitch and then give him, what, $12 million? There's no way. You got to just tell him to sit at this point, man. I'm sorry. And it's not even like tell Willie to sit, because they had all kinds of cap room last year where they could pull off whatever salary cap bullshit that it required, where, you know, his cap hit last year was wicked high, but then it's less these next years. They don't have room for that anymore. If he's not ready to go on opening night, go ahead, man. See what Zurich's all about. Have a good time.
Make your $500K.
Yeah. And it hurts, man. Like, it will hurt the team. We're better with him. But you can't get held up like this. There's reports coming out from Chris Johnston, who I tend to believe him. Like, I think he's a good reporter. He's fairly reasonable. And he said, they're ready to name Austin Matthews captain, but they're not doing it because it'll fuck with the negotiations with Mitch. Because, again, he'll feel disrespected. I'm done. Like, you can't hold up the whole team. You can't wait on one guy forever. If this is what you want to do, tell Mitch, here's the final offer, because I was horrified that they offered him $11 million over 7 years. In my mind, that's way too much, and he turned it down. So you tell him, this is the final offer. If you want it before October 2nd, that'd be awesome. But we're moving on with or without you, because it can't be higher. You can't
be higher. You know what, man? This is one of those things that also gets me pissed off, and, you know, we both make the mistake of turning on Twitter maybe a bit too much, you know, to find our or at least our sports Twitter, right?
Yeah.
And like I've said, I have the bad habit of turning on the Fan 590 or 1050 or whatever
sure,
it is.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes on my drive home, and I got to listen to these Leaf fans talk about how the Leafs made a bad mistake by signing Austin to such a high number. We shouldn't have got Tyson Barrie. We shouldn't have got
CC. They got Tyson Barrie at half price.
All this shit they start throwing out because now we can't afford Mitch Marner in the cap. No, you know what? We could have $15 million. We're still not offering them $11 million.
That's right.
This is what they're all forgetting. We have enough cap space.
There's enough room for him to take
sure
a reasonable number.
To have
that's
the cap space
that's
to
right
sign the guy at a more than fair value.
And as much as anything else, they had to do it to protect against the offer sheet that we all knew was never going to come. But if you only have $7 million in space and someone comes and offers him $8 million, you're fucked. So they made sure they went and they got the David Clarkson contract. They made sure they had room to go in LTIR. They're fine. But that doesn't mean you blow your brains out for no reason. And this kid, I don't know if you ever listen, man. I'm a big fan of the Steve Dangle LFR videos. They have the Steve Dangle podcast, and I really dig him. And I don't know that he's necessarily any more connected. I don't think he is. I think he's just a passionate fan who does a really good job of kind of encapsulating where the fan base is at. And he said on his show this week, and I agreed totally with him, I thought he kind of brought where a lot of us Leaf fans are like, he said, it's like being in a relationship that hasn't ended yet, but you know it's over. Like, you've just sort of fallen out of love. You don't hate this person. You don't want to see anything bad happen to them, but you just know, I just don't feel the way I used to about you. And that's sort of where it is with Mitch, because he was the hometown kid, and there's the video of him singing on the bench to Living on a Prayer with Austin Matthews while, you know, guys are out on the ice fighting. And he's the guy who blocked the shots in game 3 to win that against Boston. And he was the hometown kid. We all wanted him to succeed. And he was one of ours. But this has totally soured so many people. And I can't believe how fast it happened. How he went from beloved hometown kid to just shut the fuck up and go to Switzerland if that's what you want to do. And the biggest thing that pisses me off the most, man, is he insisted that he goes last. I'm not going first. I'm not going to take $7 million just to see Willie get $8 million and Matthews get $10 million or whatever it was going to be. I'm going to wait. You'll get everybody else done, and then I'll decide what I'm worth. Well, by doing that, you exhausted the fan base. We're sick of this. We saw it with Willie. Matthews, honestly, was fairly painless. It happened in season. A lot of people didn't love the number. It's not an unreasonable number, but it's probably a little higher than you wanted. But we just did this with Willie. And if you want to go last, if you're going to insist that you go last, your agent and your management should have been able to foresee the fans are done. We're tired of this, and you're the last one standing. So, yeah, we're turning on you, man. And this shouldn't have been unpredictable to anybody. That's where I'm at.
It's the most frustrating thing for a Leaf fan right now, because we waited so long to have a good, solid young core.
Yep.
And now what's happened is people are complaining that we signed Tavares, a guy who's won gold medals, is one of the best centermen in the league.
Yep.
Who's a proven scorer, workhorse. And people are complaining that we signed him over Marner.
Like, honestly, man.
For fuck's sake.
And there's still room for Marner. But people will say it's the Tavares money that's in the way. Tavares turned Kyle Okposo and Trent Hunter and Matt Molson into 30 and 40 goal guys who, as soon as they were no longer playing with him anymore, went off a cliff. He is one of the best centers of this generation in terms of turning his line mates into killers. He comes here for 1 year. He makes Mitch a 94-point guy. And everyone, for some reason, are going, see, look how much Mitch helped John. Are you crazy?
4 points.
Are you fucking crazy that you watched John Tavares for all this time and then decided that Mitch made him this year? Insane, man. They played great together. They helped each other. But to sit there and say that Tavares became great because of Marner is the definition of insanity. And he's had 3 seasons in the league, one of them at 94 points, one of them at 62 points, and one of them at 66 points. Why do we have to pretend that the one with Tavares at 94 points is now the normal? That's what he'll be forever, and he did it on his own. No. You have to fall with comparables. He doesn't deserve to make more than Kane. He doesn't deserve to make more than Kucherov. And the fact that they're even offering him that makes me crazy. And the fact that he turned it down is insane.
That's
I'm done, man. I'm sick of this.
The only way I see this turning out for the Leafs and for Leafs fans, and here's the thing, Dubas has to play tough. He's the young GM,
yep.
just like he had to play tough with Willie.
Yep.
You know, he's the guy with the glasses. He's got to be this guy. And yeah, I mean, when he's got to walk into rooms with guys like Lou Lamoriello, who are these old, decrepit crypt keepers,
yes.
he still needs to earn his keep, right? And he can't be seen as the dude that...
I like it. Lou the Crypt Keeper.
He can't, you know, he can't be the guy that walks into the board meetings after. He's going to get no respect if he gets walked over, like, at all, right?
Yeah.
He's got to hold the line here. The best case scenario, and, you know, we're saying nobody's going to sign Mitch to the $11 million or the $10.5 million, whatever it is, to give up the four draft picks plus that price.
Right.
Will somebody give up 10? Probably. Will somebody give 10.5? Maybe. I'm sure he can find a buyer. The question becomes, what are we getting? Two firsts and a second, maybe a player. I mean, that, you know, that's what's got to get worked out, I think. Now, once the season starts, I think they can start thinking about this seriously.
Do you mean as a trade or as an offer sheet?
As a trade.
Yeah.
As a trade. Because we're not going to get an offer sheet, right?
No, it doesn't look like it.
At the price that he wants, they're going to have to give up four number ones. Not going to happen. One, because there's not enough teams that have four number ones in a row.
Right.
And it has to be their own, right? And most teams are smart enough not to give up four number ones in a row, plus give you $10.5 million.
No. Can I?
But will they give you that price plus some other picks, plus a player, you know, a combination? Yeah. Maybe. I think that's kind of the best case scenario. And then William Nylander gets to play with John Tavares and scores 90 points next year. I think that's the fucking best case scenario.
You know what I'd like to see, man? You almost at this point, I'd almost like someone to offer sheet him and him to accept it. Let's say it's 11 million. Let's say it's 10, 10 and a half. It doesn't matter. Let's say it's in that four first round pick range at like 10.6 million and he accepts it. At that point, Dubas and the Leafs turn around and they accept it or they don't, but it's done. I'm just sick of the thing that was most frustrating about McKenzie's tweet today, and frankly, because I respect him and believe him, is I don't see that this is close to getting done. That to me was the most frustrating part. Forget the numbers, forget the it's that this isn't over. Like, we're going to keep doing this just like we did with Willie. And they just don't have the cap flexibility to do it like they did with Willie, but that we're not close to done. At least if he signed an offer sheet, it comes to a head. And I don't think he'll ever do it because I don't believe he wants to leave Toronto. I just believe he wants to milk it for everything he can first. At least it would be over. You just go, yeah, you know what? Fuck it. We'll take the four first round picks and move along, or we'll match that. That's a comfortable number, but it gets forced to a head. On the trade front, I don't know if the picks are what I want. Like, we're trying to win now. So,
I mean, assuming you can then turn those picks into something.
Yeah,
else.
You'd have to be able to, then turn around and trade. You know, if you got, I don't know, two firsts and a second and a prospect for them, could you then take the prospect and the first and turn around and get something for that? You know, maybe. But if you're trading Mitch, you need something that will help you now. And I don't know what that looks like, right? I just, it's so frustrating, man, that we're nowhere close to the end of this saga by the look of it. And I'm honestly, I'm a pro players guy. You should get what you can, but this is ridiculous. This isn't about fair value. This is about, no, I think I'm better than that guy. Well, maybe you're just not, man. And he's trying to reset the market. He's trying to become the highest paid winger ever. And I'm just not that interested. I don't think you've proven that at all. I'm over him. And that's it. Like I said with the Dangle thing, you've just sort of fallen out of love. And if he re-signs, I'll still be glad he's on the team. I have no doubt he'll make good plays and he's a good player. But that thing where he's just like, yes, I love that kid. He's one of our... It's just kind of sailed,
right?
Man. Yeah.
Now, just before we kind of move off of this, just to answer that question, I just quickly pulled up. I found a website that has the salary cap tracker for the NHL.
Yeah.
Now, it gives us the estimated total cap.
Right.
and the amount of cap space. What it doesn't do is account for LTRs,
sure,
as it has the Maple Leafs at about $4 million over the cap,
yeah,
not even talking about the space that we still have to sign, yeah, Marner.
Yeah.
So it's not perfect here, but the teams that right now currently would be in the conversation, okay, to somehow, you know, with moving a player, you could fit the $10 million in.
The Senators.
Okay. Okay, yeah. So there's nine teams. There's,
yeah,
nine teams.
Yeah.
Senators are number one.
What do you want out of Ottawa? Give me Shabbat or go fuck yourself.
They've got a, yeah, bunch of, yeah, fucking pylons.
Yep.
And, a, you know.
Yeah, fuck
and,
it. And they're not paying
them. Station. So,
yeah, exactly.
You take your pick. Now, if I'm the Leafs, do I take that bargain or that bet? Do I say, sure, Mitch, you can go to Ottawa.
Yeah, you're no a senator. Problem.
We will take those three first picks, oh, and a second.
You bet your
or
ass.
Or whatever, man, it is.
You bet you're your,
right,
ass.
100% we do, right?
Because Mitch is, or Eugene Melnyk is just going to keep trimming and trimming and trimming there, and they'll be terrible. That, but he wouldn't pay up anyway,
terrible.
So yeah.
That's right. We got Colorado, but of course we know they've got
Rantanen,
a pretty big name to sign.
Yeah, and McKinnon.
Winnipeg.
Here too. Yeah, Winnipeg's, yeah, fucked. They got Laine and Connor that they got to get locked up. So they're in bigger trouble maybe than Toronto.
Yeah. We've got the Detroit Red Wings.
Yeah, maybe. It's close to home. Maybe you could make that work. Yzerman's there. They're going to turn it around.
Philadelphia.
They're kind of a tweener team, you know. He could be a star there, but I don't
he
know what they're going,
right,
to be. Yeah, that might be interesting.
That wouldn't
they're,
be a bad spot.
They're only a year or two
away. Right,
no, and they're only a year or two away from having to lock up both Nolan Patrick and Carter Hart, so they're going to run out of that cap space quick. So,
yep. And then you get into the ones that are going to have to really try to make it work, right? Like, I mean, okay, Tampa falls on this list, but of course they've got their guys to sign.
Braden
up.
Point's not signed yet, so they're going to be way over the, yep, cap.
And you get like Anaheim in New Jersey. Again, Anaheim's the one that you maybe go, huh.
Ship
could we send
them,
you down there?
You know what I'm doing? I'm shipping them to New Jersey. I'm doing that deal for Taylor Hall, who is an unrestricted free agent this year. I'm going to sign him to a reasonable contract. It's Hall and Tavares. It's Matthews and Nylander. And we're going to fucking roll, man. That's what I would do.
If you could convince, I don't even know who's in charge of New Jersey right now. If you can convince whoever the fuck that
Ray,
is.
Ray Shiro. Yeah, I'm doing that.
You can get him, like, you can get that to roll?
Yeah.
Man, done. I'll drive down to Jersey to pick Taylor Hall up.
I don't care, man. Jeremy Bracco will be the third guy on that line with Tavares and Hall, or Justin Hole.
Like,
so, like,
it
what
might
a,
be me.
You could
it
be.
Might
you
be
could
me
do it, man.
After I bring Taylor Hall
That's
going
to be awesome. That would be amazing. You'll suit up with them. It'll be great. We'll have a source in the locker room.
I'll just bring the microphone on the bench.
It'd be great, man. Yeah. And tell Talk Babs to fucking man. Play Matthews in game seven. That's your whole job.
You,
and then I'll get fucked. He'll be like,
seven.
"Do you mean you mean you?" Like, here goes, yeah, Matthew. Get out there. I'm like, not that one.
That's the joke, right? Just me on the bench be like, yeah, wrong Matthew, coach.
Yeah, exactly. Just one. Yeah, no, it's the wrong one. So, you know what? I don't know where it's going to go, man. I don't know what's going to happen. I think it's pretty clear at this point. Camp starts tomorrow. They show up for their physicals. He's not going. If he's not in camp on opening, or if he's not on the roster on opening night, that's got to be it. They don't have cap space to allow that to start to creep up throughout the season and become higher and higher and higher. So it's ugly, man.
It's ugly. It's unfortunate. I mean, as Leaf fans, this is what we want.
Well, and we're just tired, you know, of it. Like, it's just enough already.
How long has it taken us to have a great team?
Yeah. Well, that's
we're just sick of it.
We're not going to be fucking sucked this year! Yeah!
Thanks for listening. You can get more TCA at tallcanaudio.com or by searching Tall Can Audio on your favorite podcast app.